All right, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning, verses 3 through 9. I'm in a snarky mood, so we're going to start off with a snarky picture. Remember, Mother's Day is not, Mother's Day is for moms, not men in dresses. Their day is April. It's amazing that this would be thought by some would be actually legitimate in our society. You can have your opinions, and you're entitled to your opinions and your feelings, but you are not entitled to redefine what truth is. We read God's Word, God tells us what truth is, but there is a whole host of people in our society today, they're called influencers, and they're trying to influence us to do all kinds of things. Mainly, the number one thing is they want you to buy whatever they're selling so that they can make money. And that's pretty much what Instagram, TikTok, and all of them are about. That's not just people posting things about their lives. The reason why they use some of the most extreme things they do, because the more extreme it is, the more clicks they get. The more clicks they get, the more money they make. A lot of those people probably don't even believe a lot of the things that they're peddling. But our society is full of would-be influencers today. The sad part is, at least in the circle that I run around on the internet, there are a lot of mothers who we find that are transitioning their kids, teaching their kids, like a lot of the Hollywood actors and actresses, that just because you were born a boy doesn't mean you're a boy. You could be a girl or vice versa. And so we've got the wrong kinds of influence happening. But underlines this is, though, there are people out there that are afraid to speak the truth, and parents are afraid to speak the truth. To look at the little kid and say, no, you were made a man, and you're going to grow up to be a man. Or, no, you were made a female, and you're going to be a female when you grow up. It cannot be changed. People are afraid to tell the truth, and there are times where, even in our conversations with people, we're afraid to speak truth to them. We don't want to offend anybody. Well, you can tell by my picture, you know what circle I run in there. I don't really try to be offensive, okay? I don't try to be, but I'm not afraid to be. Because when I see people telling me up is down and down is up, I'm wondering what kind of noggin bump you hit this morning. Did you have a double bed and you fell out the top? You know, what's going on? Why are you trying to get me to believe things that are not what they really are? So I say to you parents, and yeah, today's Mother's Day, but we're going to speak mostly to parents, moms and dads. You are the most important influencer in your children's life. You don't leave that to the preacher. You don't leave that to the school teacher. You don't leave that to the musicians on the radio. Taylor Swift is not a good example for none of your little daughters to grow up to be like. In fact, I would even argue you shouldn't even let your little girls even listening to her. Instagram. I don't know why an 8-year-old or 12-year-old would be on Instagram. You're exposing them. Let's go eat a Tide Pod, you know. How many of y'all know that's a thing? It's not like a modern one right now, but there was a thing where the challenge was to eat a Tide Pod. And it started out with some things really simple. Let's go eat a tablespoon of cinnamon and see how that goes. Well, what you didn't find out is some of those people end up in the hospital because cinnamon really will dry out your mouth really like quick. And if you inhale instead of exhale, it goes into your lungs, and cinnamon doesn't belong in your lungs. And it creates issues that all of these things happening because of influencers. Some things may be fun, Coke and Mentos. I've never done that, but I've thought, man, if there's a way that we could get some inside a bottle and get the lid on before somebody can open it, and that way you put it in your house and they want to go get a Coke from your house, and when they open it, you already know what's going to happen and it just fizz all over them. To me, that would just be like awesome. Braden, that would be like taping the rubber band around the sprayer on the back of the sink, and you sit back and wait for your parents to go turn the sink on and it squirting them, right? Fun pranks, but some of these things aren't pranks and they're meaning to influence the children in ways that they should not be. Use your influence to teach them truth. grandmas, grandpas, aunts, and uncles, speak truth to your families. Why are we so afraid of truth today? Why are we so afraid of if we say something, they may get mad at us? Does the truth depend upon feelings? Or is the truth what it is, no matter how you feel, or even what your opinion about it is? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy had two of the most profound influencers that two people could have. And Paul writes, "But continue you in the things which you have learned and you have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." And we know later on from reading Timothy, it was from his mother and his grandmother. And the truth that they taught him was verse 15, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now make sure you understand, the Holy Scriptures they were teaching him was not the New Testament as we know it. They were teaching Genesis through Malachi, Deuteronomy to Timothy. Deuteronomy is a great book, by the way. I'm going to plug that one. You need to spend some time in Deuteronomy. From them, Timothy learned about salvation. You imagine his mom and his grandmom helping him study through Isaiah, and they get to Isaiah 53, and they point to Timothy and say, "That's Jesus. We, like sheep, have gone astray, but he was the sheep that was sacrificed for our sins." They taught him the truth. They led him in the ways of righteousness because they were godly influencers as they were supposed to be, the mom and the grandmother. And what is truth? Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Who is the truth? The same one who is the life. Jesus is the truth. And we're afraid to tell people, "You must be born again or you're not going to heaven." Well, I didn't make that up. If you're studying with me on Wednesday nights, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, not because he was afraid, but Nicodemus wanted some one-on-one time with Jesus. And the only way you're going to get one-on-one time with Jesus is to go when everybody else is snoozing. Nicodemus goes to Jesus by night, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "Lord, how can a man be born again a second time? Does he enter his mother's womb the second time?" Jesus said, "No, that means to be born from above. You must be born by the power and the Spirit of God." Jesus is the truth. And the number one thing that parents, godly influencers, are going to teach their children is that Jesus is the truth. You do not need a seminary education to do this. And for many people, I would warn you, don't get a seminary education. It'll wreck your faith. Because at seminary, we learn how not to take God's word at its face value, but how to add in what men want to find within it. My brother used to joke with me all the time, my older brother. He'd ask me how things were going at the cemetery. And I survived, but it was a hard 3 years. Everything that I was having to give a defense of why I believed what the word said, because now I had to actually turn to it. There was no pastor there to defend me. There were no parents there to defend me. My papa wasn't there to defend me. I had to give a defense why I believed what I believed. And it was 3 years of day in and day out of defending what I believed, but it led me to understand that when we say the Bible says, what that means is, if God doesn't say it, then we don't need to be messing with it. But if God said it, that's what the truth is. Jesus said that he is the truth. I want you to consider this. So many people are passing off their children to educators. And I told you I was going to be snarky, okay? There are all kinds of blue-haired and green-haired, educated-in-the-world teachers who hang 10 flags in their classrooms, none of them being Old Glory, who wouldn't recognize or know the truth if it rang their doorbell because they're so interested in putting communism upon our kids. And that's who we're going to turn our children over to? Number one, I don't care whatever else you learn about communism, it hates Christ. Communism hates God. It is the enemy of Christianity completely. And that is what is being foisted on our educated kids today. So how do we combat that? I'm going to get to the passage. Don't worry. I'm not one of those preachers that says open your Bibles and never gets to it. We're going to get there. I want you to consider Moses. These passages were too big to put all up here, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, we find that the writer says that Moses, when he was of age, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than the joys of Pharaoh's house. He chose to identify with Christ, and it says specifically there that Moses chose to identify with Christ, Messiah. Now, where in the world did Moses learn that? From Exodus chapter 2, we find out that as a baby, he was supposed to have been killed. All the children 2 years old and younger were to be put to death. His mother hid him. His sister watched over as he laid in a basket on the water. Pharaoh's daughter just happened to come by, draws him out of the water. The little girl is swiftly thinking, hey, this is a baby, and a baby needs a mom that can nurse it, because they didn't run down to Walmart or Walgreens and pull a little bottle of formula off the shelf to feed them. And so Moses is actually raised by his mom up somewhere around to the age of 4 or 5 when he is weaned before he is given over to Pharaoh's house. Now, if Moses chose to suffer affliction with Christ, Messiah, I can tell you he didn't learn that from Pharaoh. He didn't learn that looking at the pyramids or the Sphinx. He learned that on his mama's knee. And that foundation stuck with him till he was old enough to follow in the paths the Lord had for him. Don't underestimate the value of teaching truth to your kids. And so that leads me to Deuteronomy 6, and probably this is why one of the main reasons why we have this going on here, as Moses writes this, I would like to know if he maybe reflected on what his mama taught him when he was a young child. The Lord has spoken through Moses. He said, here's what you're going to tell the people. This is how they are going to live their lives. And beginning in verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses writes for us, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. And he's talking about the commandments of the Lord, verses 1 and 2. That it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. So he's telling basically all of the parents, whether they're grandparents or whether they're aunts and uncles, you're going to hear and you're going to do. You're going to listen and you're going to obey. King James has a great word for that. It's called hearken. We don't use that word anymore, but it's a great word. So next time you're raising your kid up, when Avery gets a little old enough, say, Avery, I need you to hearken. Yeah. Listen to what I'm saying, then do it. Not just listen. You know, teenagers are good at listening. They're not good at doing. They hear everything you say, and they learn how to tune their antenna a different way. In one ear and out the other is what we say, right? Well, even adults do this. And I wish the kids were in here to hear this so they could look up at their moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and say, God's telling you here in this passage, you're supposed to hear and you're supposed to observe. You're supposed to listen and you're supposed to do. And he's going to start with a basic principle in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Yahweh is only one. There are not multiples of him. And there is this basic principle for us to understand. There is really only one God. What about Dagon? What about Ishtar? What about Isis? What about all of these other gods, right? According to Paul, what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God. If you tell me you're a Christian, I'm going to respond to you, there is only one God. There is no other God. Satan's not a God. Some of you need to understand that even today. Satan is not God. Satan is not a God. My God is God, and he reigns supreme. And this is foundational to what he's going to teach them. And we're not even to the things that you need to really understand from this morning yet. This is all just background. This is a basic principle. There is only one God. But what about those idols then? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, what do I say then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered and sacrificed to idols in anything? Basically, no. I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrificed, they sacrificed to devils and not to God. Behind idolatry and behind all of these gods and goddesses are demons and devils. They're not gods. There's one God. There's one Creator. There's one Savior. There are not multiple. Why is this important? Because they're going into a land that is filled with people worshiping other gods and goddesses. And God says, I want you to know, I'm Him. I'm the only one. And in our day and age, it's important for you to remember, there is no one to fear but God alone. It doesn't matter who they proclaim. Can you imagine if our forefathers could see? They would have called them Mohammedans. But the influence of Muslims and Islam on our college campuses today, that's not God. Allah is not Jehovah. There is but one God. His name is Yahweh, and He has but one Son. His name is Jesus. There are no other. And it's okay if we're adamant about that. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one and only. So what are we teaching our kids? Well, I'm going to let my kids grow up and figure things out for themselves. Foolish and lazy. Now, again, I'm all for a good prank. There's a little meme floating around. A little kid's going to put a key in the outlet on the wall. And the mom's going to go catch the kid. And the dad says, wait. Because what do all of us who have ever done that learned? Don't do that. Because you put the key in the outlet and it feels really weird. That's probably a safe way of saying it. It feels bad. If you've never been shocked, that's because you never saw a key and thought, oh, it goes in the little outlet, and you try to turn it. Yeah, some things we learn the hard way. Little kids on their bicycles. Anybody never jump a ramp on your bicycle? I didn't grow up, we didn't grow up in bubble wrap at my house. You find two pieces of plywood laying around, you got 16-foot of ramp. You can do a lot with 16-foot of ramp. You can also get in a lot of trouble. You ever go to the end of the ramp, you're going to hop up and all of a sudden your handlebars go one way and your bottom wheel goes the other way. We survived. We survived. And I'm making light of those things, but please understand, learning with bumps and bruises physically, sharp hooks coming out of the tackle box is completely different than allowing your children to learn about Christ the hard way. You have an obligation to be a direct influence with them about who the Lord is and what He expects of us. There are only three simple things for you to remember this morning. Moms, dads, parents. They come straight from the text, beginning with verse 5 and 6. You're going to lead by integrity. Look what he says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and you shall teach them diligently. I went too far. Let's stop with verse 6. All of those these and thines are singular. And you see what God did there? He makes it personal. Yeah, we're teaching everybody, but it's important for you to get this. You're supposed to lead out in this way. You're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do you love hunting more than you love the Lord? Do you love fishing more than you love the Lord? Do you love shopping more than you love the Lord? Fill in the blank. Do you love working more than you love the Lord? What is it that's on your lips? What is that which drives you? According to what God says here, the number one thing in the parent's life, they're to what? Love the Lord with all their heart. Leading by integrity means to the kids, do as I do. What if we all did everything we saw our parents do? Or what if our kids did all that we did? Any of us ready to hide and shame yet? Do as I say, not as I do, is not biblical. As parents, you are supposed to lead the way. I guess my pawpaw didn't want to teach us to cast rods because he didn't like it when we brought spin reels with us or those. He gave us cane poles. Because with a cane pole and your white perch fishing, you can drop it straight down and you can pick it straight up because underneath the water where you're fishing for white perch, he would take us to basically log jams underwater. And he says, when you cast your rod out there, you bring it through and you hook it on everything in there and it messes up the fishing hole. So he taught us to use cane poles. And I was always like, why does he get to use the fly rod? Now, he basically used it like a cane pole. And so I had to learn that because he wasn't casting. He would straight up and straight down. So he basically did. He got a more fancy version than what we did. But at that time, you know, you're 8 years old and 7 years old, fly rod, that's a completely different finessing things. It's completely different than that cane pole. The stuff he had on the end of ours, you could pull a log up with it if the hook didn't straighten out. And that's how he designed it. We didn't have to worry about losing string. You just hang on to it and maybe fish get in the boat. But can you imagine being a kid? What if he had been casting that rod through there and getting hung up and unhanging and getting hung up? Well, if he can, why can't I? And every kid can see through our lives, and they may not call us on it, but they can see hypocrisy. The first thing he's telling us is to lead by integrity. You need to do before you teach. Now, we can apply that to welding. If the guy don't know how to weld, he probably doesn't need to be teaching a welding class, right? Yeah. We need somebody that can do. Can you imagine a guy teaching pastors to be pastors and he's never pastored? How well you think that'll float? Now you understand why so many pastors don't know how to pastor because they're in seminaries being trained by men that don't pastor. Parents that don't do. They expect truth and integrity from their kids, but they themselves don't live it out. I think probably for me, don't say it, the hardest thing to ever have to do is look at somebody and say, I'm wrong. But what's the first thing we make little kids tell us? Yeah, what they did was wrong. Maybe we wouldn't have to force them to learn it if they saw us do it. You need to go read your Bible, young man. Why didn't they catch you reading yours? You need to memorize a verse for Vacation Bible School. What are you memorizing? Man, y'all got way too quiet. Okay, inside your pews, it's meant for a joke, but there's these little sticks with a little word on there that some of your mouths just do not know how to frame. You don't have to say a word, but you can say, Brother Luke, yeah, you're right. We don't have to like it, but it's the truth. You are supposed to obey all what the Lord commands us. That's why in verse 5 and 6, it's singular, it's all about you. You are to keep these words in your own heart, and that's going to lead to the next one. Then you can teach. Then you can lead by instruction. Why? Because it's something you know within your heart. Something that you yourself believe. Something that you yourself stand firm on. Not waffle, not flipping around, changing from day to day. Consistency. But You don't believe it in your heart. If you don't believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if you don't believe he's the only way to heaven, why should your kids? I go even a step further. If the preacher doesn't believe it, why should the people in the pew? If I don't believe the word, why should I be standing here? You should have great expectations. Actually, you should have great demands of me. Brother Luke, just tell us what it says. Do as I do. You imagine me telling y'all, you need to be out there sharing Jesus, and I never pass them out? What's that called? Hypocrisy. Now, the best ones are my favorite, and they're just about all gone down here. I got more. I like doing this, not because it's mean, but sometimes people think they're finding credit cards and those kinds of things. I'm one of those. I'll fall for that. I know y'all have seen it. Some of that Hollywood movie people leave laying in the parking lot. You think you just found a $20 bill, and then you actually look at it closer. It doesn't even tell you how to get the Jesus on the back. It's just a fake $20 bill, and it's made for movies and stuff. These are my favorite, though. And the reason why I like using these is because it catches people's eyes. It's not something they're just going to dismiss. Oh, we see Jesus. I don't want to know about Jesus. Oh, look at this. He got little emojis all over that little thing. And some of them, you know, they wink at you and their eyes move and they sleep on you and kind of things. But on the back, I tell them about Jesus. That's my favorite ones to hand out. Lead places. If I don't do it, why should I ask you to? Right? It's called hypocrisy. Parents, do not lead from a position of hypocrisy. Lead from integrity, which means we can tell the kids, do as I do. Sometimes that bothers me. Not about you, but about me. Because sometimes I'm not walking in integrity. And that's why I'm honest with you. When you send some of them texts to me and you don't expect the answer that I send back to you there, Zach, and you're kind of like, wait, I didn't expect a preacher to answer in that way. Because you're smart enough to know the truth and to smell out a lie. So I might as well just send you back the truth, right? Can I just share one of them? The question was asked of me, how did you meet your wife? Well, I'm a pastor. You're supposed to say, well, God led me to her, right? I said, no, it's very basic and very simple. I was led by my eyeballs. I had no idea what was going on between her ears. I didn't know if she knew up from down. I mean, I didn't know if she could skin a buck, run a trot line. I didn't know any of that stuff. I was led by my eyes, and that sounds so foreign to hear coming, because you're the preacher. You're supposed to be spirit-led. You're supposed to say, Lord, I need a spouse. And God sends you one, kind of like Isaac and Rebecca. She gets off the camel, and they're married. And that ain't how it happened at all. I was like, wow, she pretty. I never even met her. I was looking at a picture on the band room wall. It was a band picture. I picked her one out of, 90 people? I'm like, ooh. Nothing spiritual about it at all. And that's really sad. It's funny, but it's sad. Because too many people make too many choices based upon vision. And then you're like, oh my goodness, what have I got myself into? You're like Mr. Bass. You just realize those are hooks in that thing. They're not just shiny, dangly earrings. They're spikes in them. So sometimes we are going to have to tell our kids, look, I did it wrong. But that's the stop. That's the step of integrity when you admit and we try to lead them in the right. Number 2, verse 7. You shall teach these things diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Basically, anywhere you are with your kids, you're supposed to be what? Instructing them in the truths of the Lord's word. In other words, we are going to reach a point where we look at our children and we say, do as I say. That comes after you do what you're about to teach. Do as I do is first. Do as I say follows. I cannot imagine what it would be like to go through high school math today based upon the teacher that I had. I had Miss Jacobs. She may have been stiff and she may have been hard, but this lady knew math. Yeah, she probably wrote the book. She knew math. But some of this logic so-called that they're trying to teach kids. And so I can listen and I'm like, does the teacher even know what they're doing? How can they teach what they don't understand themselves? And I have yet to find somebody that really can explain to me Common Core math, because nobody really gets it. So why are we teaching what we don't even do? Well, let's pick on something easier. Your kids are going to ride with you a lot in a vehicle. You're going to teach them to speed. You're going to teach them to obey the law. Let's even get even more interesting. We're going to teach them how to yell at the other people that don't know what they're doing. Where'd you get your driver's license? The gumball machine? That's come out of my mouth before. There's a lot of things that have come out of my mouth. That's a wonder my kids can drive sanely. Not because they're flying around everybody doing 1,000 miles an hour, just because I'm having conversations with everybody that don't know how to drive. And I know I'm the only one. And sometimes comedians pick up on these things. And Mark Lowry, he may be an older comedian, but he's got this one great little episode where him and his brother are fighting in their house and their mom just kind of flips out. And she's sitting there with her head buried in her hand, screaming and wailing, "I failed, I failed, I failed." The phone rings. She picks it up. "Hello." We pretend to be what we're not. But when we actually do what we are teaching them, when we lead by integrity, then we can lead by instruction. Then we can say, "Do as I say," because now we're giving them our own personal life as an example. I practice what I preach. And listen, I don't care what flavor you are. None of us like when people do the opposite. You know, when the boss comes in 15 and 20 minutes late, but they pound you for showing up 30 seconds late. Why is that right? Right? We can spot it. We can notice it. I've never figured out, why do the bosses all get to go for lunch at the big places and you're struggling to run down and get something really quick and get back and eat it before your 30 minutes is up and they're gone for 2 hours and a half and you're like, why is that right? I must be the only one. I know y'all think it's... How much better is it when we are following those that do what they preach? When mom and dad say this is right and this is wrong, and the kids are like, it must be, because that's what they do. Self-restraint. I wish Russell was here. One bowl of ice cream is 5. They learn their eating habits from you too, by the way. Because in my house, you don't go where you don't like to eat. Why should they learn to eat things I don't want to eat? I don't ever force my kids to eat cabbage. Oh, what the heck? Yeah, but it's good for you. Why ain't you eating it? Maybe we're just too close to home. The next one seems like it's kind of out of nowhere, but verses 8 through 9, look at this. We're going to lead by integrity. We're going to lead by instruction. But this is fascinating. Now we're going to lead by illustration. "And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, upon your frontlets, between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates." Now, take this only for what I say. Do your tattoos testify of the Lord, or are they just something in the world? I didn't think that would go over well. Y'all mind if I talk to YouTube instead of y'all? Y'all didn't like that one. Are you hearing me? The illustration here is what my hands are put to, what my eyes look upon, my household, everything about my life is bound up in the commands of the Lord. And if what my hand is participating in, or what my eyes are engaging in, or what my house is being used for doesn't match up with this, then I'm also once again teaching them the wrong concept. Now, they would take and put scriptures on their hands. By that, they'd put them in a little box. They would hang them a little, what they're called, frontlets between their eyes. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was working on a chariot and it's really hot in the sun, the last thing I want is something dangling between my eyes while I'm down there trying to loosen a bolt, right? But that wasn't his point. His point was his word was to be before your eyes. So when that wrench slips and you smack your finger, what comes out of your mouth is not toxic for little ears. Lead by illustration. Do the things in your house testify that you love the world, or do you love the Lord? And again, I'm not saying that before everybody goes in their house, they need a sign that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Because if you post something like that, you really need to serve the Lord. But he's not telling us we've got to be hanging all of these things on our walls in order for it to be a spiritual house. Yeah, there is a tangible aspect to it. Do your kids walk into your bathroom and find a verse stuck in the mirror because you're trying to memorize it? Or maybe you spend a lot of time in your vehicle. Do your kids get in your vehicle with you and there's a card with a verse on it taped on the dashboard? You know, you can remove it later, but you're trying to learn it and they see you're trying to learn the Lord's word. Man, it was everywhere. If you watch Ben-Hur, I know that's an old movie for some of y'all. It's a great movie to watch. But towards the end of it, he's going to go walk into this house and you'll see him stop and they'll touch the wall. There's a little thing there. It's a little piece of clay tablet and it's got a little bit of verse of the Lord's word there. They took that literally. And so when you walked in the house, you acknowledged when you went into that house, the Lord's word. And they reach up and would touch it. So when you go in and when you go out, what was right there? The Lord's word. It was to embody life. And I know y'all think, man, a preacher's house, it's got to be spiritual. Number one, I live in a trailer. Number two, I've got somebody stray chicken living on top of my front porch at night. So now I've got chicken poop on the front porch because I'm not boxing it up. It ain't free to roam my yard. I throw it some corn. I don't want it starving. There's no, "This house follows the Lord" sign when you walk in. You walk in where I sit, there's a computer, and that's usually where I'm perched. I like to read. And then that makes me think, what impression am I giving my grandson when he comes into that home? Really? What is my grandson think? Does he know that when we go in there, it may not just... Listen, I don't preach 24/7, 365. I'm not walking around my trailer spouting out the word of the Lord every other breath that I breathe, okay? That's just not it. But do they know when they come into that house that the word of the Lord is going to be honored? That we're going to endeavor our best to follow and obey what we know to follow and obey. Now, we fight about who's going to pray, not because we all want to. Just like Who prayed last time? You know, when we have to do that, then it's more like we're pulling teeth to get people to pray. Right, Braden?
Yeah. He ain't even going to look at me.
It's like, who draws the short straw? You got to pray. And I'm like, I pray all the time. I go to church. I got to pray in the morning. Got to pray tonight. Got to pray when the service is over. Got to pray on Wednesday night because that's what's expected of a preacher. And y'all expect that. Y'all think I'm praying for y'all throughout the week. You hope. It's like, it's time for somebody else to say a prayer. Well, how many of our grandkids have ever heard us pray? How many of our children hear us pray? And by the way, you don't have to pray just before you eat. Brother John took me up on this. He read Deuteronomy chapter 8, and guess what you'll find out? For some of you, you're supposed to pray when you're done eating. It'll change it. In my mind, sometimes I'm going through the day and I'm stopping. I'm like realizing, oh, wait a minute. I had breakfast. It was a good breakfast. I had lunch. Lord, I am full. Thank you. I'm not hungry. I'm full. And the fact that I'm full says he has provided. Thank you. As a just a cursory before, you know, God is great. God is good. Let's thank him for our food. Amen. Okay, let's dig in. As opposed to genuine, I'm full. And a lot of us in here are full. Are we teaching our children around our homes? Do they know that that is a home that is filled with people that aren't perfect, but endeavor to keep the Lord's word? As parents and as moms, if you're going to be a great influence to your kid, you need to lead by integrity, you need to lead by instruction, and you need to lead by illustration. Somewhere in your home, there needs to be a Bible verse propped up. When you learn it, you put a new one. When you learn it, put a new one. Say, Brother Luke, I can't memorize. Yes, you can. I don't care how old you are, your brain's not so far gone. Don't give me chemo fog or brain fog or corona fog. You memorize what you want to memorize. You know what channel you're going to watch, and you know what time that your favorite cooking show is coming on. You can memorize a verse. Watched a fascinating video. This older woman has dementia. She knows no one in her family, but she can tell you all about Jesus. Fascinating in my mind, she has not forgotten the instruction of the Lord. I hear all about people getting mean with dementia and all these kind of things. And here she has absolutely no knowledge of her family, but she can tell them the word of the Lord. And I'm just like, that, how good God is. But if she had never put that in, how could she ever bring it out? And what a testimony to her family. We say it this way, a picture is worth 1,000 words, right? Dads, one of the best verses you can leave for your kids comes from the book of Job. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maid to lust after her. Would to God that our kids found those verses laying around. Children need truth, not lies. Children need truth, not fairy tales. Children need truth, not doctrines of demons. Children need Jesus. So our final verse is going to come from Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's in red because Jesus prays this. Jesus is praying for his disciples as you should be praying for your children. But he's praying for his disciples, and he says this to the Father in heaven, sanctify them through thy truth. One of the worst things you can do as a mom or a dad or parent, as an aunt and uncle with your family, is to neglect the truth. Sure, you may be able to post high scores on a video game. Can you tell somebody how you're saved? Sure, you may be able to go out in the woods and track down where the deer are feeding, kill the deer, and then track the blood trail and get right to it. But can you read to them the Roman road because you've memorized it? See, there's a lot of things out there that are true. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. There's only two genders. You're either male or female. There is no other option. There are lots of basic general truths. But the number one most neglected in all of our lives, what Jesus said, thy word is truth. You want to know how to live on Instagram and TikTok? Read the word. You want to know how to get along with your spouse, your mom and dad? Read the word. Military guys, you want to know how to deal with the enemy? Read the word. Americans, you want to read with how to deal with foreigners coming into your country? God says a lot about it. Believe it or not, he says a lot about the foreigner dwelling in his land. It'll blow your mind what he's got to say. But for whatever reason now, we would rather turn to, and by the way, let me preface this, I'm about as conservative as you can find, but Tucker Carlson is not God. He may say a lot right, but he ain't God. Your children should know the name of Jesus before they know the name Tucker Carlson. Your children should know the Bible before they know Fox News. Well, either get with me or I'm going to stir the pot. I'm telling you, I'm in snarky already. I just wake up sometimes snarky. No, I'm snarky all the time. I wake up sane sometimes. It's amazing that a child can grow up in a Christian home and he can quote you more football, hockey, baseball statistics than he can tell you verses from the Word of the Lord. That's a problem. Does it make the statistics false? No, they're true. I mean, if a guy hitting 500, he's hitting 500. But it ain't going to get him to heaven. Lead. Lead by integrity. At least do it. If you're not going to live what you're teaching, don't teach what you ain't doing. But then, lead by integrity. Lead by instruction. Sometimes you've got to take people by the hand. And in this day and age, there are some people, they don't know the difference between a pry bar and a crowbar. They don't. You got to show them the different hammers, what they're good for and what they're not good for. Did y'all have a pry bar, crowbar incident? Now, I know you've been doing a lot of housework. Maybe you were having to explain to Janet the difference between a screw and a nail. I mean, I guess it's possible. You take them by the hand. Now, Braden, we did you a great disservice yesterday. We took over your project. Now, he's not really upset about it, are you? No, he's not really, because he had this little woodcraft, and it was quite... For a 14-year-old, they got to love detail. I mean, you got to sit there and file things to make them slide in just right. And guys, me and Bubba just, we did well in it. But how is he going to learn if he doesn't pick up the tool and begin to do it? You've got to instruct. I learned to work on cars one gasket at a time. I didn't get to play with the wrenches at first. My dad gave me an oil pan and a scraper. Now, do not scrape this way because you scrape the wrong way. And what do you get? You get a gouge and a gasket service, and we can't have that. But I learned one gasket at a time. Head gasket, valve gaskets, oil pan gaskets, all of those things that most people just take it somewhere else. You're the son of a mechanic. You're going to start there, and he would show the right way to do it. That's how you learn. You instruct. But then you lead by illustration. You make sure that it permeates everything about your life. The word should be very prevalent. Somebody should be able to come into your presence, and maybe they don't see a verse plastered over the front porch of your house as they walk in, but after they spend time with you and talk with you, they walk away from there knowing there's something different about this person. They keep talking about Jesus. They talk about the word. They talk about the truth. They must love the Lord. Lead by illustration. I imagine one of the hardest things today to be is a mom who's trying to love the Lord with all her heart, and she's hearing, if you don't have an education and if you don't have a career, you're not meeting what you're supposed to be. I'm so thankful that Mary, the mother of Jesus, didn't have a career. I'm metal. I told you, I know where to poke it. Now listen, the mom doesn't mean idle. Proverbs 31, man, that was a woman and a half. She could skin a buck and run a trot line, that woman, I'm telling you. Some of y'all know, do I have to go there and read it? And she'd buy a field, she'd sell it, she'd plant it, she'd stay up late. She didn't go down to Walmart and buy clothes. She sat down and she spun the wool and she wove it together and made her family's clothes. This was an industrious woman. But what is being fostered upon moms? You're not reaching your potential if you're not pursuing a career instead of raising your kids. And that's the problem with our world today. We got these communists that will not honor the flag teaching our kids. And what do you expect them to not believe when they get out? I don't expect them to believe this is the greatest country that's ever been. God's blessed us in ways that very few other countries have known. And if you want to know where we're headed, you look at England. Their churches now are museums. Because mom and dad quit it. They had no integrity. They had no instruction. And there was certainly no illustration in their house because everything was about what the world had to offer rather than what the Lord. Three things, don't forget them. Lead by integrity. Lead by instruction. Lead by illustration. Would you bow your heads?